And now, in conversation with the boyhood heroes who became his broadcasting colleagues, this is My Radio 1 with Sean
Tilley. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s and 80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1. Sean
Tilley. My Radio 1.
And I'm delighted to welcome the person who made history by hosting the station's first ever program on Saturday, September the 30th, 1967.
Tony Blackburn!
Hi, how are you, Sean? Right?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, yeah. Tony. I'll be looking forward to this one.
I mean, I just want to go all the way back to the early days, you know, long before you started broadcasting as a career, as a listener, what were your earliest childhood memories of the radio?
Well, my earliest memories would be Radio Luxembourg, I guess, really. That's all we had. There was the BBC they played about an hour of pop music every day. So really, Radio Luxembourg was my really what I was listening to when I was a kid, because there wasn't anything else.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Radio Luxembourg, your station of the stars, broadcasting on 2.8 meters in the medium wave band, commencing its Sunday evening transmission, which continues until 2 o'clock tomorrow morning.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because your first brush with show business was as a singer with a show band on the South Coast, but your career went in a completely different direction when the Offshore Pirates came on the dial.
I actually couldn't hear them because down in Bournemouth, there was Radio Caroline, the signal wasn't strong enough, but I saw a documentary on ITV about them, and then I read an advert in the New Musical Express wanting DJs for Radio Caroline, and I sent a tape off because I thought I would use the DJing side of things, or the radio, if I could, to get into the singing side and records. Because I'd gone and auditioned for a few record companies, and I don't know, just got rejected the whole time. So my mum actually said, well, why don't you go up to London and try and crack it, you know? I mean, they weren't pushy parents or anything, but... and I said, well, it's probably not a bad idea. And I sent this tape off of me introducing 5 records, and that's what they asked for. And as soon as I posted I remember posting it down in a little place called Lilliput, where I lived in near Sandbanks in Poole, and I thought, I've got that job. And I remember going out from Harwich and seeing this little boat. We went out on a tender boat from Harwich and seeing this little boat bobbing around in the sea, and I thought, how wonderful that is. This little ship is giving the government so many problems. And I did a program called The Big Lineup. It was the 4 o'clock, 4 till 6, I remember.
Anyhow, hello everyone, welcome to The Big Lineup. Tony Blackburn here with you, and nice to be with you again. Sorry for blowing my nose just before the news. Let's away with my first record of the day. Number 2 sound from Chris Andrews.
I found it the most natural thing in the world, just going down and sitting in front of a microphone and talking to it. And the response we got in those days was just fantastic. And, yeah, I just fell in love with radio from that moment on.
That's from the Stones album Going Out of Our Heads, and that was called She Said Yeah.
65 comes alive with Radio Caroline.
And Big It Does, this is the fastest moving pop show on radio, The Big Lineup with T. Cozy, Tony Blackburn. Here's the first BLU type requestner, and it's from Carol Gardner, or Gardiner, that's right, at 54 Bolbury Road, that's a lovely name, isn't it? North Kensington, London, W10. Hi there, Carol, thanks for writing, hope you like this record. Julie Clark says, you're the one.
Then there was the big move to another famous radio ship.
Yeah, Big L, Radio London.
That's the one you really, really love, though, isn't it?
Yes, radio, I mean, you know, everybody remembers Radio Caroline, but the station that really brought modern popular music to this country, and still is copied, was Big L, Radio London. It adopted the top 40 format of rotating hit records, and they did it the way the Americans did it. And of course, the Americans were about 25 years ahead of us, because we didn't have commercial radio, and they'd had it for years. And I remember hearing this story. I was on the air, I was doing the breakfast show on Radio Caroline, and I was going off the ship, and I really wanted to be on Radio London. And there was this guy called Tony Windsor, whose catchphrase, hello, it's the TW show. He was this Australian, and he was the head disc jockey, and he took me to one side, and he said, hello, sport. And he said, how do you fancy coming over here? And I said, well, it'd be fantastic, I'd love to.
As soon as you wake up in the morning, listen to the sound of music on the Tony Blackburn Show from Radio London. I'll play the records you want to hear and give you continual time checks so that you're not late for work. Music makes you feel happy, so tune in every morning from 5:30 till 9 to the Tony Blackburn Show. 12 and a half minutes to 9 o'clock, and don't forget that at 9, it's Tony Brandon.
Oh, I wish I'd done a bit more homework last night. Bet Miss Baker will want to see our books. And second lesson's maths. I hate Mondays.
A busy morning? Start her off with a good breakfast. Weetabix and milk. Whole wheat protein and energy. Wonderful value, too. The Weetabix pack couldn't be fuller. All nourishment. Square meal nourishment.
Start the day with Weetabix.
Weetabix.
Let us say hello to Fred, who's our local greengrocer down there in Bournemouth. He always talks with a plum in his mouth. Oh, dear, they get worse and worse, don't they? 12 minutes now to 9 o'clock. This is number 6 this week in our charts from P.P. Arnold.
Obviously, everybody knew that the outlaw of pirate radio was going to happen. You must have been, you know, like everybody else, incredibly sad about that, because you were having so much fun, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yeah. I mean, it was very sad. On the other hand, I had actually been introduced to a guy called Harold Davison, who was the biggest agent in the world. He handled Frank Sinatra and all the big names, and it was the biggest agency going. And I was introduced to him because his wife was Marion Ryan, and his stepsons were Paul and Barry Ryan. And I was introduced to him by Tony Windsor, and Tony said, Harold would like to meet you. And Harold said to me, he said, look, he said, there's going to be a station that the BBC is going to start called Radio 1. And he said, I think I can get you the breakfast show on there.
Wow.
And he said, if you come with me, he said, let's put it this way. He said, I can make you the top disc jockey in the country in 6 months. And he did it in 3.
Mm.
And so by that time, I'd left because I saw that it was going to come to an end, the pirate ships.
That makes your kneecaps go all funny, that one, doesn't it? Stevie Wonder there, a number called I Was Made to Love Her. Actually, as is my first day with the BBC, nobody knows I'm in the building yet, because I thought, as is my first day, I won't push my luck. So I entered by the tradesman's entrance. This one's going to be a hit. It comes from the Young Rascals.
I don't know what it's all about.
And of course, Radio 1 took a lot of the DJs, not from Caroline, but from Radio London. And to be fair to them, it was they said, you know, you come and do it and teach us how to do it. And we did. And Kenny and I designed the studio of Radio 1. They got us in there and said, what do you need? And all the rest of it. And it was a very basic studio to start off with. And we said this, and that's all we needed. And they gave us a lot of freedom, you know. And it was very, very good in the early days.
And that time, you know, doing the breakfast show for the first 6 years of the radio station, you had the monopoly. I mean, you totally dominated. What a time that must have been
The audience figures were... We had, on the first show, I think it was 20 million.
10 seconds to go before Radio 1, Tony Blackburn, and Radio 2, Paul Hollingdale. Stand by for switching. Get tuned to Radio 1 or 2. 5, 4, 3. Radio 2, Radio 1, go.
The voice of Radio 1.
Welcome to the exciting new sound of Radio 1.
I said and. I don't know why I said the and. And welcome to the exciting new sound of Radio 1. Then went into an ex-pirate jingle.
Yeah! Quite right, too.
All the jingles were the Radio London ones, really, the big L Radio London ones. And very sensibly, Radio 1 embraced it. They didn't try and... The BBC didn't try and say it didn't happen. They embraced the moment. And I think that was very good.
Definitely, we've even got Arnold back. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first of the Tony Blackburn shows. I shall be waking up every morning, except Sunday, between 7 and 8.30. So let's away! If this one doesn't wake you up, then nothing will. This is number 3 this week in the Radio 1 Fun 30 from the movie called Flowers in the Rain.
The film of that legendary, iconic opening of the station. It was done the night before, though.
Yes, it was, yeah, because in those days they wanted to put it on the BBC News and they didn't. They needed time to probably take it to Boots and have it developed in those days. And I love the way Robin Scott, who was a lovely man, he was standing behind the desk. He looked a bit like Sooty, and it's a very strange sort of setup. And he stood there looking very worried about everything. But we did film it the day before, yeah. And so what I did, I noted down exactly what I'd said, so that I got it exactly right for the when we came on the air live and did it.
And at this time every morning, just like to explain, as it's the first morning of the Tony Blackburn shows, we should be kind of getting you out of bed, because it's very difficult to get out of bed in the morning, isn't it? And I know a lot of you don't have to go to work this morning, but at the same time, we must get you out of bed, because I want you to enjoy a Saturday morning. We do this by having a bedroom twisting time. Off you get there. Out of bed immediately. Come on. No mucking about this morning at all. Off you get. Come on. That's it. Out of bed. And what I want you to do, first of all, I want you to salute a blown-up photograph of myself. Now, if you haven't got one of these, then never mind. I hope you'll get one in the future. Salute it. That's it. Over you go to the window. A nice big breath. That's it. Take a nice big breath. Open the window and tell everybody, just shout it out, that Radio 1 is wonderful. Okay? That's all you have to do. And twist around to this one. Come on. Up you go. Even you, Granny. Come on, lovey. Up you get. Out of bed there, love. Sound of the Supreme. I need
love. You had some very memorable features, elements to the programme. For instance, the school salute.
Yes, we did that.
T-Z-O-O-N-N-Y-Y school salute.
A little bit of humour there before school salute. Sorry about that one. Where is it? 16 and a half minutes now to 8 o'clock. 16 and a half to 8. So, oh, that's it. You've got to hurry on, haven't you? Because the school bus will be leaving very shortly. Welcome once again to another school salute. Graham Bourne writes in, first of all, and says, dear Tom, will you please play a record for 2N of Kingsbury School, Dunstable in Bedfordshire?
What about Knees of 1968?
Yeah, that's slightly embarrassing.
But we've got a wonderful...
Knee Knockers Club or something.
We've got a
like
wonderful
that.
Clip, though, Tony. Let's have a listen to this.
Have you entered a competition of this sort before?
Oh, no, never.
And what sort of made you enter the competition?
I don't know. I did it on the spur of the moment. I thought it'd be a laugh, you know. Yeah. I never dreamt I'd win.
Oh. Did you ever at any stage in your life think that perhaps your knees were superior to anyone else's?
No, not really. I think knees are rather ugly, really, you know.
Yeah, you see, I find a lot of people ask me why I find sort of knees, you know, why I go on about knees and everything, but I find them immensely amusing, really.
Yes, well, I suppose they are, really.
And have you, I'm probably sort of getting you on the hop here, but have you any advice for anybody that you'd like to pass on for the welfare and protection of knees? I mean, do you look after your knees?
I think you have to be careful and oil them well, you know.
You oil them well,
regularly.
Do you ever blast on them?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm very proud of the early days of Radio 1. It was terrific to be there. We had a great team of people, and I loved it.
And a real family station.
Yes, it was, yeah. Very. Not so much as the pirate ships, because on there we all lived together, and so we knew one another better. I mean, I'd come on, and then I'd hand over to whoever it was after me, and then I'd go off and do something else, a club or something like that, or Radio Luxembourg, and that sort of stuff, or a TV show. So, they're very exciting days.
Talking of TV shows, within no time, you were one of the regular presenters of Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And what an amazing show to be involved with in those days and throughout the 1970s.
Well, it was a great link-up. I mean, unlike today, you could make a name for yourself literally within 3 weeks or so, because if you had the strength of Radio 1, which was a monopoly, and you had 20 million people or what have you listening in, and then we had the link-up with Top of the Pop, so everybody suddenly knew what you looked like, and you were a mega star overnight. I mean, and the Radio 1 DJs at the time were as big as the artists. You know, that was the truth of it. When we went and opened up shops and things, we had police protection and everything. It was amazing. I mean, I don't think the DJs nowadays realise what it was like, you know, coming out of this building, you know, particularly in school, when the school kids were on holiday. You know, it was massive. And it was tremendous. I loved every moment of it. We all did.
In those early days of the network, you had the young DJs, such as yourself, obviously, and some of the older guys hanging around as well. And when I say that, a very memorable Top of the Pops appearance for you was the show that you did, I think it was around Christmas time or New Year, with Alan Freeman.
Yes, it's number one. It's Top of the Pops.
And I were doing, it was a recorded show, luckily, and there was a countdown to the start of it, and I fainted into his arms. I got the flu. Oh, I suddenly came over really hot, and I fainted into Alan Freeman's arms, and when I came round, he said, "That was a wonderful moment for me. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened." And I managed to complete the programme with him, but then I had about 2 weeks off with the flu. So, but I remember that. You know, Fluff was lovely. Alan was great.
Pete Murray
was fabulous. You know, he was the person who showed me around the BBC. And you've got to remember, these guys had it all their own way for a long time, and suddenly they saw us younger people come in. And I remember Pete saying to me, "Well, our time's over here." And I said, "I don't think that's true, Pete." I said, "You've got an enormous audience," and he was very good. I liked Pete very much, and Alan Freeman. I said, "I think we'll all work alongside one another," and we did. And Pete Murray was there, Alan Freeman was
handing over to Jimmy Young every morning.
Jimmy Young, he was great. I mean, Jim was fabulous. I loved Jim, and And so there was a mixture of the younger element from the pirate ships and the people who'd been there forever. And I think it was very good that they didn't get rid of all the young, the older people, because they had a terrific audience. Mm. And they were good as well.
Radio 1 on 247 metres.
And indeed, welcome along to the Tony Blackburn Show and the fifth anniversary show of Radio 1. And during the next 2 hours, we're going to look back and hear some of the music and voices you've heard on Radio 1 over the last 5 years. And the Baron will be out and about seeing what you think of Radio 1. But do you remember 5 years ago, back on Saturday morning, September the 30th, 1967, at 8:30 in the morning, I said, welcome to Radio 1.
When I was doing the breakfast show, which I thoroughly enjoyed, I'd done it for 5 years, and then I got married. And suddenly the image, because it was all image in those days. You know, we were young and we were in all the pop magazines and things like that. And then I got married and then this young guy called Noel Edmonds came in.
It's exactly 9 o'clock on Radio 1.
There we go. The keys.
Yes, you can plug them into the transmitter and get through to the 9 to 12 cupboard.
They don't fit, these ones.
And they?
No, you've got the wrong ones, though.
No, I'm sure they're the right ones, aren't they? Try the large one.
The
long one.
That's got it.
Well done.
Lovely.
Good luck.
And we became very good friends when I went on Noel's house party, and he invited me on there. And if you remember, we used to come through the door, knock on the door, and I was there, and I delivered a line. He said something to me, and he closed the door, and he slammed the door, actually. This was on a live show. And he turned to the camera and said, I've wanted to do that for years. And when we met again in the green room after the show, I said, you really meant that, didn't you? And he said, I really did. And then he said, how about coming down and staying with us for the weekend?
No,
from that moment on, we've been very good friends. I haven't seen him for a little while now. It was my fault, I think. I think it was my fault. There was that rivalry. And it's understandable when you've got a breakfast show on Radio 1, you don't want to give it away.
The golden hour, Tony Blackburn, remember.
Best of luck, studio.
1960.
Remember this one from Freddie Cannon. Thank you very much, Noel, for the last couple of hours.
I came up with this idea of the golden hour, doing a very fast-moving show and basically playing hit records from, a few years gone by. And it did really well. And so when I came back to, I was given the 7 o'clock spot on Radio 2, initially, they said to me, how about doing a Motown and Philadelphia, show? And I said, the only problem with that is you're repeating the same records a lot. So I said, how about doing the Golden Hour? The only problem is, as I called it the Golden Hour, they can't extend it now to the Golden 2 hours. So I'm lumbered with just an hour.
That's very,
but it's
very
nice.
True,
I mean, I love doing it. And it's been, I'm very proud to have invented that. One or two people have taken it on in the past, but I was the one who invented it. Simon.
That's my final golden hour. On Monday morning on the Simon Bates Show, the golden hour will be 1972. Not a lot changes, really, does it?
Tony Blackburn, the golden hour.
It's 10 o'clock.
Here on Radio 1.
In November 1977, you're on the move again, this time to the afternoon show.
Yep.
Across the nation, 275 and 285.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Radio 1.
And on behalf of my humble self,
2 o'clock special.
I'd like to in advance thank everybody concerned with this programme.
And it was kind of sad for you, I guess, in a way, because you replaced David Hamilton, who switched to Radio 2, and it broke up that we didn't know what banter was in the 70s, but that's what you had with each other, always sending each other up, even on Top of the Pops.
Yes, we did, and it was like a sort of a double act a little bit. Yeah, I'd send him up, he'd send me up. And we did it, actually, basically, as we both liked one another a lot, and we used to go out together, and we did it to promote one another. And that was the one thing that we did. I promoted his show, and in return, he'd promote my show. But at the same time, we did have this banter that was quite good as well, which people seemed to like. And it was so good, in fact, we were stopped doing it. it always happens, we got some good thing going. Somebody puts their boot in and says, oh, we don't want to do that anymore. Public are enjoying it too much.
I noticed a very clever thing that you do in this programme. A bit earlier on, you were talking twice at the same time.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
It's one of those.
It's your idea
things,
of heaven, isn't it?
It certainly is, actually. I take this programme home, yeah. I record it every day, and I got something wonderful to listen to in the afternoon.
Again, on this show, though, you had the 2 at 2.
Yeah.
You had the 3 at 3.
You had the four at four.
You could have gone all day,
five
really.
5 and 5. We could have done 6 at 6. We could have gone the 24 hours, yeah.
Thank you very much for your kindness, and I hope that you will join me every Saturday and every Sunday. And I'm going to leave you with, the last record I'm going to play on the show means a lot to me, because it was produced by my very best friend, and he's seen me through the pretty rough times just lately. R&J Stone, it's called We Do It. It goes back to January 1976, when it got to number 5 on the charts. Most beautiful record. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
1979, you moved off the afternoon show, and you go to the weekends. But one of the programmes you did inherit from Simon Bates, funny enough, was the Top 40 show on a Sunday, which you really made your own, didn't you?
Yes, and funny enough, I don't like chart shows very much, because there's not much personality into it, so I sort of strangely sent it up a little bit.
And Cliff Richard is there at number 1 for the second week running. And I shall be with you for the brand new Top 40 for the very first time this Sunday between 5 and 7. 275 and 285 and VHF stereo. 5 till 7 this Sunday for the brand new Top 40. I hope you can join me there.
Used to think that life was sweet.
The new Top 40 on Radio 1.
You know, this record's gone up 20 big top 40 places and all that nonsense.
You would even say that a record had propelled itself up two mighty places.
Yeah, two mighty
even
places.
Even more of a send-up,
Lovely summer sound from George Benson called Give Me the Night goes straight in. A new entry at number 22. Joan Armour Trading goes up 7 big top 40 places to this week's number 21.
Everybody remembers Fluff's chart rundown music.
Yes,
You seem to find on the top 40 those great pieces of music that actually made the top 40, considering that it had been announced the previous Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You were just recapping it on a Sunday, albeit for 2 hours, but you brought that excitement back.
Well, the chart rundown, I basically copied Alan Freeman, because Alan Freeman was the best at it. He was terrific at it, and nobody can do it any better than him. Yeah, I mean, I loved doing that show eventually.
Let's have a listen to a couple of pieces of music that they used to use on the show. Firstly, this was the Hot 40s and the theme from Firepower.
The highest new entry this week at number 20, Paul McCartney, Waterfalls. 19, UB40, My Way of Thinking. 18 comes from Judas Priest, Breaking the Law. Number 17 from Roxy Music, and Over You. 16 this week comes from Queen, Play the Game. And at number 15, no doubt about it, it's Hot Chocolate. 14, Olivia Newton-John, Electric Light Orchestra, Xanadu. 13, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark with Messages. Number 12 in this week's Top 20, Crown Heights Affair, You Gave Me Love. At 11, it's Stacey Lattisaw, Jump to the Beat. Here's this week's Top 10. At number 10, The Specials with Rat Race. Number 9, Jermaine Jackson, Let's Get Serious. 8 comes from Liquid Gold with Substitute. 7, 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, Lodgeness Abounds. 6 comes from Tina Marie, Behind the Groove. At 5, The Corgis, Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime. This week's number 4, The Mash, with Theme from Mash. Here's the top 3. At number 3, Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway, Back Together Again. At 2, Lip Sync with Funky Town. Still at number 1, Don McLean and Crying. And there it is. That's this week's top 20.
I mean, a chart rundown. It's basically, I mean, it's records going up and down the charts, and that's it. But you can make it exciting. It's all in the present. Well, you'd know, Sean, it's all in the presentation, isn't it? Making it sound exciting and something that really isn't too exciting. But you can make it. It's what you make of it. And a chart rundown, you know, it's gone up a massive 5 big top 40 places and all that stuff.
Was it you that found that piece of music?
I really can't remember. I shouldn't imagine.
Because your producer was Bernie Andrews.
Oh, Bernie, he used to chop logs up while the programme was on. I never saw Bernie, really. He'd ring me up. I'd have the charts there with all the timings on it. And he'd ring me up and say, you know, just to make sure I was there. And I could hear him chopping wood in the background. So he was never in the studio while I was there.
What a marvellous story.
Yeah, but Bernie... Yeah, I hardly ever saw him, actually.
He had a very impressive background, though, didn't he? Working with the Beatles on Saturday Club, yeah. Right back to those early days. Here's the second chart rundown music that you used. This is Pete. Now, you've just said to me, I'm not sure if I remember this one, so have a listen to PJO and Don't Jive Me.
Number 20, Altered Images, I Could Be Happy. 19, from Foreigner, Waiting for a Girl Like You. 18, The Snowman, with Hokey Cokey. At 17 this week in the top 20, Kim Wilde, Cambodia. At number 16, Soft Cell, Bedsitter. At 15, Duran Duran, My Own Way. Number 14, Julio Iglesias, Begin the Beginning. At 13, Diana Ross, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Number 12, The Police, Spirits in the Material World. Number 11, from Rod Stewart, Young Turks. There's the top 10 at number 10, John and Vangelis, I'll Find My Way Home. Number 9, Dollar, with Mirror Mirror. 8 of the top 20 this week, Status Quo, Rock and Roll. And at number 7, it's Gottlieb and Cream, Wedding Bells. This week at number 6, Madness, It Must Be Love. Number 5 comes from Buck Spears, The Land of Make-Believe. At 4, Adam and the Ants, Antrim. Here's the top 3 at number 3, ABBA, One of Us. Number 2 this week from Cliff Richard, Daddy's Home. Still at number 1, Don't You Want Me, The Human League, and that's the top 20.
You remember it
great,
now.
Great bits of music, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, exciting sound. It's a great one to do a chart rundown to. And, you know, I mean, that just makes it. Mm. And it's a matter of the timing on it as well. Get it absolutely precise.
So yeah. Were you then very disappointed when they said that you were coming off that and Tommy Vance was taking over?
Well, I didn't know. Nobody actually told me I was coming off it until
Is that right?
No, I went into Bernie's office to pick up my running order and I saw his contract for the next quarter. And the only thing I was quite happy about was he wasn't being as paid as much as I was.
7.5 minutes past five. Welcome along to the Top 40. Tony Blackburn here with you for the final time on the Top 40.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you enjoy doing a show, it's always disappointing when you come off it. But having said that, you know, nothing's forever and you have to just go with it. I don't quite know why I came off it, because it was doing well and everything, but Tommy did a great job. And but it's always disappointing, yeah.
Junior Choice with Tony Blackburn.
And please will you play a request for me, Joanne Munt, and my fellow hikers, Joanne McKellen, Eileen Huntley and Margot Stanley on Sunday, as we'll be travelling back from Wales, having successfully completed my Duke of Edinburgh Gold Hike. If possible, please play the song from MASH, as we think it would be very suitable, as we shall be exhausted having walked 40 miles in 4 days. Please mention my mum and dad, sister Fiona, brother Alistair, who lives in 5 Collins Close in Gloucestershire, and also mention the Pershore Rangers. Thanks, Tony. Lots of regards from Arthur, and love from Joanne.
Ed Stewart leaves Junior Choice, yep, and heads for Radio 2, and you take over that programme initially as Junior Choice, but of course very quickly afterwards, yep, it became the Tony Blackburn Saturday and Sunday shows.
Yeah.
You didn't really enjoy doing it.
No, I didn't. No, it's not my sort of program. It's, you know, playing Nelly the Elephant and stuff like that. I didn't really enjoy it. And the problem with the program was, although very kindly a lot of people come up to me now and say, oh, we love that program you did. And I feel really guilty when I say I really didn't enjoy doing it, because it just wasn't me.
Tony Blackburn's Junior Choice.
Hello, Roger and Sharon.
Hello, Tony. My name is Roger Barnes.
And my name is Sharon. We live at Pencoed, Bridgend, South Wales. Here's a joke. What did the carpet say to the floor?
I don't know. What did the carpet say to the floor?
Don't move, I've got you covered. Boom, boom.
What it was is the music was all wrong for the kids, because the grannies and grandpas used to write in, you know, it's little Freddie's birthday, and he'd much rather have had Buck's Fizz, but we were playing him Nelly the Elephant, because his grandparents liked that, or his mum and dad did.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my sort of show. And I also did it with Keith Chagrin and Maggie Philbin. And I found that slightly embarrassing, because they were known to the youngsters much more than me, because they were doing the television. And so when we went out all the kids knew them. It was the Tony Blackburn show, but they knew Keith and Maggie. But I realised the writing was on the wall then.
Tony Blackburn. He's the happy, happy man.
Morning, gang.
And to my extra listeners this morning, like the entire BBC management, nice to have you with us this morning. Well, this is it. And that's the title of this record from Melbourne Moore. Keith and Maggie with me a little later on. We've got the weekend postbag and, of course, all your dedications. Oh, no Nelly the Elephant. I can't believe it.
So what do you feel, Tony, listening back to that again?
Well, you know, my career at Radio 1 had come to an end.
17 years, though.
That was a long time.
Marvellous.
Long time, yes. Well, I was doing... one of the reasons why I think probably I came off doing the children's show is because I was working 7 days a week. I moved to Radio London, and my main love is soul music. And I was doing a show on Radio London. It was an afternoon show. And Derek Amore, who was a real rebel, I loved him, and he basically was terribly rebellious. He got moved sideways for something that happened, and he ended up at Radio London. And I was doing this awful show in the afternoon. It was one of those typical BBC local radio shows at the time, not now, where they, you know, swapping items and things like that and all the rest of it. And he wanted me to do a show with a very nice lady called Susie Barnes called the BBC, Blackburn Barnes and Company. And I said to Derek, I said, I really, really can't do that show. I said, I don't want to do a show like that. And he took me out to dinner. And so we had a couple of glasses of wine. He said, I want you to do this show. And I said, well, Derek, I really don't want to do it. And I said, I've never done this before, but I'm going to have to resign. And he said, oh, don't do that. I said, oh, all right. Then he said, you're not resigned? He said, okay, I'll sack you. I said, you can't do that. I just resigned. He said, no, but you took it back. So this went on all evening. And at the end of the evening, he said, I can't remember if I've sacked you or you've resigned. He said, what the hell do you want to do? And I said, well, I've heard a pirate station that plays soul music, which I love. I said, I want to do a soul music program, and I want to be a shock jock. I want to be outrageous. I want to chat people up over there. He said, all right, do it. And he said, can you start on Monday? I said, yes, of course I can. So I came on, and I thought I was quite outrageous, chatting people up, saying I'd like to kiss your earlobes, nibble and work my way down to your inner thighs. And we did all this on the air. And it was terribly, it was fun. And it got everybody listening, the cab drivers and everything. And after the first week, he said, I thought you were going to be outrageous. And I said, well, he said, I want you to go further than that. And he was amazing. And I got to the extent where I practically nearly had a nervous breakdown because he gave me permission to do everything I wanted. And I thought, I can't do that because, you know, and we never had anybody that went over the top with it.
I tell you what, who do you want to say hello to?
Oh, yeah, right, okay. actually, here's my boyfriend.
Yes.
And his name is John.
Yes.
And he's 25.
Yes.
And he's kind of ooh.
He's kind of what?
Ooh.
But then Derek Chinnery, the head of Radio 1, because I was doing the kids' show, so I was this sex and soul god during the week, and then suddenly, hello, boys and girls, on Radio 1. So Derek Chinnery said to Derek Amore, he said, Derek, he rung him up and he said, Derek, he said, I've heard Tony Blackburn, who does our children's show here at Radio 1, he said he's talking about stockings and suspenders. Can you stop him talking about them? And Derek Amore said to Derek Chinnery, he said, of course I can stop him talking about them, if only we could stop him wearing them. So, and Derek Chinnery evidently put the phone down, and that was the end of my career at Radio 1. And I think that's the real reason. And my show on Radio London went on for a long time.
It did,
and it was
yeah.
very successful. And but that was it at Radio 1.
So it is the end of this era for Radio 1 and the start of a brand new era. I'd like to say thank you very much indeed for listening in, and I look forward to seeing you again very, very soon indeed. Who knows where it might be. But right now, I'd like to close my final record on Radio 1, the record that I opened up the station with 17 years ago, The Move, Flowers in the Rain. Thank you very much for listening. Look after yourselves. I love you all.
To be honest with you, we had Doreen Davis, and her husband, Derek Mills. Now, Doreen Davis was an executive at Radio 1. Derek Mills was an executive at Radio 2. And I thought, that audience is more for me now. But I couldn't go to Derek Mills because he's married to Doreen Davis. Now, if I'd gone to Derek Mills and said, I'd really love to come on Radio 2 now, and he'd gone and there wasn't a job there, and suddenly Doreen Davis gets to know about it, I'm out. but I was out anyway, so I could have taken the risk. But I felt the time had come to, move on to, I would have liked to have gone to Radio 2, but in those days, they didn't have that natural progression from Radio 1 to Radio 2, which I thought was a shame, because as you got older, you could have taken your audience to Radio 2. And in fact, I was off national radio for 30 years.
Tony Blackburn here. I'm delighted to be your new presenter on Pick of the Pops. And for my very first show, I've selected two really terrific charts. We're going to go back 44 years to 1966, then 31 years to 1979.
I just love personality radio, and I think people like David Hamilton and Mike Reed and yourself and people like that, it's a shame they're not all on one station and doing it properly. And getting it working as they have done in the States, and going back to basics and say, what works here and what doesn't? And you've got too many program controllers saying, speak there for 20 seconds and that sort of thing. Oh. That's not what it's all about. It's when people switch the radio on, you're going into their homes and you should be entertaining. And I really believe that if Kenny Everett had come along in this day and age, he probably wouldn't have been accepted. And that's a shame. And I'm sure there are a lot of good people out there. But it's these people in control saying they're pushing them down the whole time. Mm. Whereas I would say, come on, entertain me. And that's the attitude, actually, that Radio 2 has. And I think it's a terrific attitude. And it's a pity there aren't more people in charge like with that attitude.
You've had a wonderful career,
yeah,
Tony.
I've been very lucky.
But it must be so fulfilling when you look back and you think of the early days when you started and you wanted to be the top DJ, you became the top DJ. It's been an absolutely fantastic career. You must be very proud.
Well, I couldn't have asked for more, yes. I mean, I've been very lucky. I think a lot of it's timing and a lot of it is luck. I mean, I don't think it's, there are a lot of people around that I hear that are so much better than I am. I think you'd probably agree. A great life. And, I've been so lucky and met so many interesting people, and to go on the radio and be able to play great music that you enjoy and share it with people is an absolute thrill. And I think sometimes people don't realize how lucky they are. You hear some of these people whinging about this, and you say, actually, you're quite lucky. It's probably better than more interesting than a lot of jobs that people have to do.
What's the old saying? It's better than working for a living.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah.
Tony, thanks for talking to me. It's been wonderful.